Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Nation. That would be the Barbecue Nation. I'm JT here at the Grill in the Command Center, and Dr. Dave is out wandering around. We're going to find him one of these days. We also welcome all of our affiliates on the Radio Northwest Network. There is a new book out for all of you barbecue warriors, Praise the Lard. I love the name, by Mike and Amy Mills. And if you're familiar with the top tier of influential folks in the barbecue biz, you will know that Mike and Amy rank within that group. Mike's 17th Street Barbecue has become one of the got-tos on anybody's barbecue bucket list. Well, Lard, as I'm going to refer to it today, is the second book from this father and daughter duo. And we're going to be talking with Amy here in just a very short bit. Our music today is from the old boys at Guns N' Roses. Subtle, I'm sure. Anyway, let's welcome to the show Amy Mills. Amy, how are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
So I've got to ask you the obvious question first. The name. How did you come up with the name of the book?
The name. Well, this is the name of our barbecue cook-off. And it's entering its 30th year. We'll be having that cook-off in September. Mm-hmm. And I think it just really encompasses the celebratory nature of barbecue and the reverent nature of barbecue.
I like that, the reverent nature of barbecue. So I don't know you. I've never met you personally. Of course, I've read a lot about you and read about your dad and stuff. Let's just take one quick step back. What prompted him to get into the barbecue business?
Well, my dad has been in the barbecue business his whole life, as was his dad. Although his dad was really in the barbecue sauce business, but his dream had always been to open a barbecue restaurant, and he barbecued for family and friends, and he and my grandmother sold a barbecue sauce that they made. And my dad tragically lost his dad when he was 7 years old. So at that time, my grandmother was left with three small children at home, and she did a variety of jobs, but one of the things she continued to do was to make that barbecue sauce, and she sold it to neighbors and other people.
Mm-hmm.
And when my dad, growing up, he built barbecue pits and sold them as a way to make money when he was in high school. He has just always barbecued. It's just been part of the fabric of our family. And when he's a dental technician by trade, but he always cooked up at our dental lab. And he bought a bar locally here, really sort of as a hobby. And he would barbecue for free on the weekends to get people to come and buy more alcohol.
Sure.
He later bought a different bar that had always sold a barbecue sandwich and a hamburger. For over 100 years, they've sold that there. And he then expanded the menu and had some different items. And he still only cooked barbecue there a couple of times a week as a special until he and a group of friends started our barbecue contest, which will now be in its 30th year. They did very well in the barbecue circuit, and then he started barbecuing every day in that restaurant, and he turned his dental lab over to some people who still run it today. We still own that lab, but really he's, all in the barbecue world and, has been now for 30 years.
And he drug you along the whole time?
He did. Well, I actually ran screaming and kicking in the opposite direction. I went away to journalism school and lived briefly in Dallas and then for a much longer time in Boston, where I still have a home, and I sort of bounce back and forth. But I, have come full circle, and I've worked in advertising, marketing, and PR for other people.
Sure.
And now I've come back, and I do that and more at 17th Street.
Isn't that funny? Because before we came on to the show, we were talking a little bit, and I was kind of filling you in. That's kind of similar to my life. I did other things, but was always cooking on the side, barbecuing and stuff, and then kind of came full circle. So I completely understand that.
Yes. It's funny how, you know, you're led back to where you're supposed to be.
I believe that's true. I believe that's true. So with that background, would you kind of discuss with our listeners and with me, of course, that I've written a book, and it's not an easy task. And my book wasn't very big, but I can tell you the effort I put into that smaller book was a lot. And now this is your second tome. So how difficult was it for you to actually write this book and keep on point? It was really difficult. Yeah.
The first book was difficult in a different way. It was a lot of work. And this book was even harder, and I feel like it shouldn't have been, but it was. I had a different publisher. I think coming off the success of the first book, I had my own fear of, you know, what if this book isn't as good or something like that. I had such severe writer's block. It was really an excruciating experience, but I'm liking it to, like, you know, an ugly birth and a beautiful baby, so it was all worth it.
By the way, is that your son? I saw one of the pictures on the web when I was doing the research about you guys. There's a good-looking young man standing next to you. I don't know if that's your brother, your son, or...
It's probably my son, yes.
Yeah. Well, good job, Mom. Good job.
Thank you.
What do you think is the toughest part about being in the barbecue business today?
Wow. Well, if you're speaking about it, you know, in the business and kind of as in the restaurant business,
yes,
I think barbecue restaurants, you know, we're really very heavily protein based. So your food cost instantly is higher because all of these meats cost a lot. And right now, some of them, especially brisket, are at an all-time high. So if you're not a seasoned business person, it's one thing to be able to cook barbecue really well, but it's another thing to be able to sell it and be very consistent day in, day out, and, you know, be able to control your costs and end up with being able to take care of all of your people and end up with something at the end. So I think the business climate is difficult. And if you're able to keep all of those things under control, then you can still do very well. But, you know, many people get into this because they love cooking barbecue. And once you really own the restaurant and are so busy all the time, sometimes that's the last thing you get to do anymore.
That is true. That is very true. So let's get over to the book for a second. One of the things I wanted to touch on here was you have some, you know, small quarter page, half page, little stories, little references, whatever you want to call them in the book that I found pretty interesting. One of them was talking about competition brisket. Mm-hmm. Competition brisket is a little bit different than what you probably serve at home. So first of all, how did you come up with the ideas of what to put in those little sections? And secondly, do you think that most people actually realize that what they see on television on Pitmasters or something like that, or if they actually go to a local barbecue cook versus what they're doing at home, do they realize the difference in that?
I don't think they do, and that's why I wanted to include that, because I think barbecue TV has done a tremendous amount for the barbecue industry, and I think competition barbecue has done a tremendous amount for the barbecue industry and has really piqued interest, and it's made, you know, a lot of people, it's given a lot of people a little bit of knowledge, so when they come in, they want to talk about something that they perceive that they've seen on TV that you should be serving them, and I'm just trying to educate people and say, you know, that's not exactly what it's going to be. You know, we don't boil the ribs and glaze them with honey and brown sugar and do all of these things
right.
In a restaurant setting. And we don't inject the brisket. And, you know, competition brisket can sometimes be likened to almost roast beef. It is not the same thing. Mm-hmm. So I just want people to be very aware that that's not what they're going to get in our restaurant. And it's probably not what they want to cook at home.
Probably not, but, you know, having been to a few competitions and judged a few, one of the interesting things I think is if you're not used to that and you watch people as they come down and maybe they'll have some samples for them, they bite into it and they kind of go, that's good. But you can tell that they're a little puzzled by the flavors and the taste because it's not what they expected.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, it's all meant for the one bite wow.
Yes.
It's not meant for you to eat an entire rack of ribs or an entire big serving of brisket. I don't know about you, but after I've judged a contest, I can't wear my rings the next day. I've had so much sodium. And so, you know, a lot of different things are in that brisket. It's just not pure brisket anymore.
That is true. Hey, we're going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation. We're going to come back with Amy Mills, and we're going to talk more with Amy about her new book out with her dad, Praise the Lard. So don't go away. We'll be back in just a minute. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. We're talking with Amy Mills today, not only about her book, Praise the Lard, but her life and family and barbecue. There's lots of good stories here with Amy. Before we talk to her, though, I just want to say if you'd like to email us, you can do it at Barbecue Nation. That's bbqnation@kxl.com. And you can also check us out on Facebook, which is Barbecue Nation with JT. All that kind of stuff. I mean, we're out there social media, Twittering and pinging and panging and doing all those things. But regardless, what do you think is the biggest thing that people make the mistake or have the lack of knowledge in barbecue, Amy, that you covered in your book?
Well, we are really particularly proud of the meat chapter and the meat recipes in this book because we have tried to take you from, you know, building the fire to what you need to look at all along the way. A lot of recipes say, you know, put this on the pit at 250 until it reaches X amount of degrees.
Right.
We're really saying, check it after 30 minutes, look for this. Add more wood at this point. Take it, you know, we're leading you through every step. But I think the whole key of good barbecue really is fire management and learning, you know, what your piece of equipment can do. And it does not have to be fancy. You know, the Apple City Barbecue team won their first world grand champion at Memphis in May on a 55-gallon barrel pit.
Mm-hmm.
So once you just have to know what your pit is capable of and how it heats, where the hot spots are, and you know how often you have to keep adding charcoal to keep your temperature up. But once, and I also think that a major mistake is people cooking too high. We are probably the lowest I know of in the industry. Our magic number is 210, except for chicken.
Mm-hmm.
So we are maintaining a very, very low heat, the lowest heat, you know, possible. We can do that more easily in the restaurant with an old hickory pit than we can in the backyard. But even in the backyard, we're not getting much above 220 or 225. So really low temperature, which then requires a lot of patience because it's going to take a little bit longer.
And I think one of the things you pointed out when you answered that question was, all barbecues, and I've had quite a few, as I'm sure you've had, and I still have quite a few, much to other people in my family's chagrin, in the back and in the shop and stuff. But all barbecues, I have not found one yet that doesn't have a hot spot and a cold spot in it.
Exactly.
I don't care if it's wood, charcoal, gas, pellets, whatever it is, they'll still have those. And you've got to learn to work around those.
And you can have two of the exact same kind, and it will be different.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, I did a cook for a private party about a month and a half ago. We had three of them, and they were all brand new out of the box, and we had seasoned them and stuff before we did it, so that's kind of a little bit of a misnomer. But every one of those had a little different cold spot in it.
Exactly.
I mean, the thing worked great, but it still had a cold spot in it. So I think that's things that people have to be aware of. By the way, I wanted to mention, you also tell people in the book where to buy shoes in New York.
That's a great story, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I'm going to make them buy the book or go find it out for themselves. But I will say that Amy had a little shoe problem one day. And I don't know if you bought the Manolas or the Chews or whatever you bought, but you found some shoes. And that was
I did. And I had a very illustrious helper.
Yes, you did.
Helping me along. You know, the essays and stories in Praise the Lard are really, really special to me. And I labored over those. You know, obviously you're buying this book for the food, but I think we all do a lot of armchair traveling when we read a cookbook. And you like to hear about the people and, you know, the personalities behind all of it. And so I heard that over and over with Peace, Love, and Barbecue. People just really responded to those stories. And so I had to, you know, many years passed between the two books, and I had lots of new stories to share, but I really wanted to give a glimpse into our world and our lives and fun things that have happened and people we've been fortunate to meet. And so working on those little essays was really a fun part of it.
It is fun to do that, and I think it's fun when you write things to share with people, not like so many people do now on social media. Went to the mall today. That really doesn't have a lot of relevance, but stories like that you've written in here, your essays and stuff, they're quite good. I wanted to ask about the correlation when people are cooking between heat, fuel sources, and spices or rubs that they put on it. And you kind of talk about that throughout the book about, you know, being careful and doing this, and this is what you do with that. Do you think your low temperature that you guys use kind of helps keep that? Because I know a lot of times, you know, people will get over crazy, put too much of something on there, and then they've got just charred 2x4s mm-hmm. that they're serving.
Well, I'm glad you asked that question. That's such an important tip. I think after fire management, again, it's people learning, like, we use charcoal for heat and wood for flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you have a stick burner and you're burning just wood, you're really burning that down to charcoal as the heat source. So wood is a flavor, wood is a seasoning, and over-smoking is a common, something that people commonly do. And really, meat does not take on smoke after it reaches about 140 degrees. And we talk about that a lot in every recipe. We talk about that. So after you've temped the meat and it's risen to 140, you don't have to put any more wood on because now it's going to lay on the outside of the meat and it can become over-smoked.
Mm-hmm.
So really, I learned this from my daddy, you really want to have four flavors in your mouth. You want to taste the meat itself. You want to know what you're eating. You want to be able to taste the spice from the dry rub and the sauce. And you want to be able to taste a kiss of smoke from the smoke, from the wood.
I
want to just taste smoke when you've eaten that piece of over-smoked meat because that smoke just hangs on the roof of your mouth.
We're actually going to address that in the next segment. We do this little thing in the third segment called the lightning round. And I've got a question for you. You have to give kind of short, brief answers. Anyway,
okay.
Yeah, that it's a fun thing to do. We've got just a few seconds here. Where do you like to eat barbecue besides your own facilities?
Besides my own facility? Well, I'm fortunate to get to travel all over the country and eat good barbecue. And right now, I think you would be hard-pressed to find any better barbecue than Lewis Barbecue in Charleston,
mm-hmm.
South Carolina. I was just in Atlanta eating at Fox Brothers, and they are doing a bang-up job in Atlanta. I was just in Chicago at Smoke Barbecue. I think Barry Sorkin at Smoke just really has it going on in his brisket and fries that they hand-cut and the whole thing. They are just doing a brilliant job.
Excellent.
I'm very close here to Nashville, just 3 hours out of Nashville. So I was there last week, 2 weeks ago, and I was at Martin's Barbecue. Just so good. I mean, I hate starting listing people because really that makes me want to list about 30 people.
Sure, I understand.
You know, I have some really treasured barbecue places all over the country. We're lucky. This is the golden age of barbecue right here.
It really is. Hey, we're going to take another break here on Barbecue Nation. We're going to be back with Amy Mills, co-author of Praise the Lard with her father, Mike, right after this. Hey, welcome back to the Nation, Barbecue Nation here on the Radio Northwest Network. And I'd like to say hi to all of our affiliates up and down the line and our new station down in Seymour, Texas. And howdy to you guys down there. Thanks for having us on your airwaves. Again, you can check us out online at, you can send us an email at barbecuenation@kxl.com or send us a recipe. If you send us a recipe and we publish it, you get a prize out of our prize drawer, which is cool stuff. And that's recipes@kxl.com. And don't forget the Facebook and the Twitter and all that stuff. We're talking with Amy Mills today, who authored the new book, her second book, with her father, Praise the Lard. It's a great barbecue book. You know, we get a lot of barbecue books to review here on the show and talk to the authors. But I think this one would be money well spent for you out there, especially if you have kind of delusions of grandeur of like cooking whole hogs every week and stuff. This really goes through because I've done that and it's not an easy task. And Amy and her father, Mike, really go through the good ways to to cook hogs and go to a, what's your dad called in the book, a hog picking? A pig picking?
Yeah, pig picking.
In Saudi Arabia, they call it a goat grab. But really quickly, not that a whole lot of people are going to do this, but what do you look for when you're going whole hog, baby, on, as you say, one of your chapter titles there?
What do you look for in a hog?
Yeah, besides them being expired.
Well, I actually have a very funny little essay in here about cooking those, or ordering those hogs. And, you know, my dad will always tell you, you want a pretty hog. You don't want to have too many notches in its ear because that means it's old.
Mm-hmm.
And you want one that looks like it's, you know, perky and has a lot of energy. He always likens it to how you would choose a wife.
Okay. All right. How did your mother feel about that when he said that?
Well, they are divorced, so
okay.
That tells you.
Okay. All right. I got it. One other thing, Amy, I wanted to ask really quick before we get into the lightning round here. Do you actually do hands-on cooking in the restaurants anymore?
I do some. If not in the restaurant, though, I will certainly jump in and help. But, you know, on a daily basis, no. But at events, yes.
Okay. All right.
But right now, you know, if I walked to the back and we had a lot of extra ribs that needed to get on, I would certainly jump in and help with that.
Well, you have some great stuff in this book, and I'm assuming it's you in the pictures. I know there's some pictures of you in this book, but some of the different recipes and stuff, like bourbon butter, sweet strawberry butter, some of that. Those things are just delicious, and those aren't exactly things that you think of when you think about barbecue.
No, they're not. Well, you have to have all the delicious side dishes and things for people to eat. So we really worked hard on having kind of a well-rounded book. And we also have an amazing cocktail chapter with lots of grilled fruits and different things. You know, that way you have something for the whole experience.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it's great. And of course, I love lipstick on a pig. That couldn't be.
Isn't that great?
That is terrific there. And you've got cocktails, henceforth lipstick on a pig. But so many of the barbecue books that come out, and they're just so, I don't know, repetitive in their recipes and stuff. And yours is not. Yours is very, very fresh and very fun for a lot of reasons besides your essays. But the recipes are fun. And the how-to parts of it are really good. I really
thank
like
you.
That.
Well, thank you. One of the things we did, especially like in the dessert chapter, again, it's hard to find original recipes that have not been done dozens of times over. And in that chapter, we have a recipe for an item called peanut rolls. And I really have never seen those anywhere but Southern Illinois and maybe a little bit into Southeast Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
But it's sponge cake iced with a thin white icing and then rolled in toasted chopped peanuts. And it's sort of like a payday without the caramel,
mm-hmm.
salty and sweet. Lots of local churches here sell those as fundraisers. They can get a dozen peanut rolls for $12. And each church does it a little bit differently. Everybody's peanuts are different, or there'll just be something different. And some are better than others. So I love introducing people to those peanut rolls. We've taken them to a lot of places during our book tour. Here in Southern Illinois, often we use pie crust strips for strawberry shortcake instead of a biscuit or a piece of shortcake itself. So I really tried to show kind of a slice of life here in Southern Illinois, and those recipes are things that we make at home. They're, you know, some treasured family recipes, some things we use only in our catering operation, like the Vidalia onion dip that is over the top delicious. And then, of course, recipes from the restaurant itself.
I might have to have you send me a dozen of those peanut rolls because they just sound fun. I've never had one.
You've got the recipe right there.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know how they travel shipping wise.
Yeah, I understand. Because I was looking at it and I thought, I'm going back. I took a little hiatus from TV, but I'm going back next month. And I thought maybe that would be a fun thing to do first time back.
Well, they're delicious.
I cannot
recommend them highly enough.
Okay, really quickly, let's do one more question here, and then we'll jump into the lightning round because we will still have about 5 minutes for the lightning round. You see all kinds of things, people using all kinds of things out on in their backyard, on their barbecue, you know, different types of spatulas, tongs, and anything like that. Anything that I like to use what I call the prosumer type. They're not really heavy restaurant grade stuff, but yet they're not the flimsy ones either. What do you recommend that people use?
For tongs, you mean?
For tongs or any utensils when they're barbecuing.
Well, you know, we've gone through many, many, many of them. We definitely use a heavier grade tong. And, you know, every year people will send us the newest and greatest barbecue items. And very few of them really pass the test of time and are things that you incorporate, because we try to keep it as simple as we can. Like, barbecue does not have to have all kinds of crazy tools and things. So if you have a great pair of tongs, we use very cheap string mops, because you get the best coverage with those mops. And, you know, we mop it on. We're not painting it like a paintbrush. It's really tapped on with that mop. We are huge fans of grill grates. We are huge fan. I think that makes anybody's outdoor grill work better, those grill grates. I'm sure you've heard of those.
Oh, yes, yes.
Big fans of ThermoPens. An accurate thermometer is super important.
Have one in my briefcase as we speak.
We always have that, carrying that around. So we really try to keep it as simple as possible, because it shouldn't be intimidating. People should not think they have to go out and buy all kinds of equipment.
No, they shouldn't. Simpler is better if you can make way with that. Okay, so Amy Mills, are you ready to do our lightning
round? I'm ready.
You're ready. Okay. What's the biggest thing you've learned on the book tour so far?
The biggest thing I've learned on the book tour is to expect the unexpected.
There you go. Like talking to some cowboy in Oregon that you have no idea what the hell he's going to say next. What do you think the toughest skill for a beginner at barbecue is to learn?
Patience and fire management.
Fire management. How long did it take you to learn not to peek under the lid, so to speak?
Not very long, because I got my hand slapped.
I was going to say your dad was probably right there with you, man.
Exactly.
Yeah, which of these would you rather barbecue? A Thanksgiving turkey, a Yule log, a Christmas goose, an octopus tongue? Do they even have tongues? I don't know. And or the Easter bunny?
I'm going for the turkey.
There you go. That's kind of the safe answer. I will say that there. Do you have a favorite barbecue cookbook other than what you've written?
I do. Taming the Flame by Elizabeth Carmel.
There you go. Where is the worst or weirdest place you've ever had to cook?
Oh, gosh. Well, I don't really have a worst per se, but the best weirdest place is on Madison Avenue in New York City.
Okay. I had to do one one time here in Portland on the street during a parade. That was because we were doing live TV shots. That was weird.
Probably challenging.
It was challenging. We had all the homeless people there wanting to eat.
Well, Madison Avenue, when taxi cabs are whizzing by, is really
I bet.
Interesting.
I bet. I've been there. Fill in the blanks here. Liquid smoke should be used for?
In hell. Liquid smoke is the devil.
I love you. I just love you. That's great. If you were declared supreme ruler of barbecue for 1 week, what would be your primary declaration?
Get out and grill.
Get out and grill. What does the best day of activities away from the barbecue business contain for Amy?
A really good book.
And
a really good glass of whiskey.
Oh, God.
Or bourbon.
You're just hitting a home run here. Star Trek or Jason Bourne movies?
Oh.
Or neither. You don't have to answer.
I don't even know Jason Bourne, so I have to go with Star Trek.
Okay. Elton John or Ed Ames?
Ed Ames.
Okay. I met him once. For someone new to barbecue and grilling, what would you recommend for them to start with as in a selection of meat to use?
I think a pork butt is the most forgiving piece of meat.
You're the second person that has said that. Okay, we got time for one more question in this segment. Dumbest thing you've ever seen done with a grill or a barbecue?
Well, when they catch on fire.
Yeah, that happens a lot around here. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back and finish up the show with Amy Mills and her new book, along with her dad, Praise the Lord. I recommend that you get that, but we'll talk about that more coming up right here on Barbecue Nation. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. If you just joined us, I would suggest that you go back and listen to this on the cloud or on your iTunes or something, because we've had Amy Mills with us today talking about her new book. Mostly talking about her new book, Praise the Lord. What's the one thing you hope people get out of this book, Amy?
I hope that they really leave with a joy for barbecue and a desire to go out and cook.
Uh-huh.
The whole point of this, I think cookbooks always make, a good cookbook makes us hungry. And you find instantly a few things that you want to try. And I hope this encourages people to fire up the grill, barbecue something delicious, enjoy their family, and slow down a little bit in the process.
Now, you quoted saying barbecue is the original comfort food. I would agree with that. But how did you come by that thought process?
I probably always intuitively knew that, but that really hit home for me after 9/11. And we were packed. A lot of restaurants were not so fortunate. People were not wanting to go out to find dining restaurants, but people were coming to 17th Street. And I think barbecue is comfort food. Barbecue is also all about community. And so many people who come to 17th Street from out of town, they're coming because they're coming for the food, but they really want to be part of your family and part of your tribe and part of your what you have going on there. They're new members to our church of barbecue. And if you do the job well, you have welcomed them and you make them feel like they're right at home and they're sitting elbow to elbow with locals and other people from across the country and across the world. But it's sort of, I wrote about this in Peace, Love, and Barbecue. It's the great equalizer. You have people from every type of background all sitting there eating the barbecue. And it doesn't matter what you do for a living or who your family is or how much money you have, you're just all there in one place, elbow to elbow. And it's really a special spiritual experience.
I would agree. How did you, last question about the book, how did you select the recipes for this book? I can understand how the scientific part, the structural part, the mechanical part of saying, we're going to tell them about this and you're writing your essays that you labor over. But I know from doing a book myself, you don't just kind of throw out a bunch of recipes and say, here you go. They have to be tried and true recipes for one thing so that people can actually concoct that dish. But how do you make that selection process?
Well, it's really difficult because things get left on the cutting room floor for sure. We had to cover the basics because you certainly, you want to cover the pork butt, the pork shoulder, the ribs, the brisket, and then we could jump off from there and have fun. I also wanted to have recipes that I don't see out everywhere else. So, we have a great pork belly in here. We lead you through making your own pastrami, which I think pastrami is really popular right now, and that we hadn't really talked too much about that before. All of those beautiful large muscle meats that are for a party, one of these chapters is really for feeding a crowd. So we have, beautiful prime ribs and tenderloin.
Sure.
And all of those things really benefit from just that little kiss of smoke and taste of char that you get from barbecue. So we wanted things that we love and things that people ask us about all the time. So the basics, just as well as some special recipes, too.
Do you remember what the first thing you ever barbecued or grilled was?
Ribs. Well, besides a hamburger.
Yeah.
If you're talking about pure barbecue, it would be ribs.
Hamburgers don't count. That's just warm-up. That's like an appetizer deal. They don't work that way. And you really need to go out and see some Jason Bourne movies.
I know. I'm culturally illiterate. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
I've been writing a book. I've been very busy.
But Matt Damon is from the Boston area. So, come on.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Anything that you want to do in barbecue, Amy, that you haven't done yet?
Oh, gosh. We have been blessed beyond measure with what we've been able to do. I can't even believe we've been able to do all the things we have been able to do. So I don't think so, but I'm sure there's something new out there that will come our way.
Well, I'm sure there will be too. New styles of competition, new styles of cooking, always little tweaks here and there. Do you find it hard when you're cooking at home for like you and your son or your dad's over or friends or what have you? Do you find it's not easy to, I didn't phrase that right, but the point is, do you play with stuff? Do you tweak your recipes a little bit here and there and say, here, try this. What do you think?
We are always trying new things at home, and I definitely have a highly, highly critical audience, and they will tell you if it's not good or if it is really good. So if you get an atta girl, you've done a good job. But I have certainly made my share of things that we still talk about that didn't come out quite as expected.
I got it. Amy Mills, thank you for being with us here on Barbecue Nation this week. And it's been a real pleasure to meet you, at least.
Thank you. I loved our conversation, and I was delighted to be on your show.
Well, thank you very much. Now, folks, we're going to get out of here for this week. We'll be back next week with another edition of The Nation. You can check out the KCBS stuff online there. And remember our little motto here, turn it, don't burn it, if you're new to the sport of barbecue. And check out my stuff on thecowboycook.com. Until next week, take care, everybody. See you then.